legislative meeting with our
Western Maryland delegation. We appreciate the time you guys coming out today. We do have some specific requests, and we'll make them. For those of you that don't know, we just spent 3 days together with the governor, starting Saturday and ending, actually for these guys, probably still not over yet. But my fellow commissioners and I and Delegate Beitzel and the senator were able to spend a lot of time with the governor, which is fantastic. And I made this statement today at the Overlook reopening. You know, these meetings are set up to give face time with commissioners and their delegation to talk about issues. We're fortunate enough, even though we live in a very large geographical area, we're fortunate enough to have a very close working relationship with our delegation. So if you would go to one of these, maybe downstate, you'll see a different, maybe a different way that they do it. We're pretty well in tune with each other on the things that they've already submitted to the state. So we probably won't spend a lot of time talking today about legislation that they're going to put in, because we're aware of it. example of that would be the payment in lieu of taxes. And I know a lot of you guys were able to come to the legislative meeting at the college. And, you know, last year I think that bill was submitted as open space bill. The name's been changed. Basically what that does is change the way the state pays for, you know, pays counties for land that they own within the county. We certainly support that, but we don't need to talk about that a lot because we're aware of it. And if you have questions about that, we'll certainly be able to answer that at the end of the meeting. But, you know, so those, I don't know what the expectations really are for this. But as far as from a legislative standpoint, you know, we are well aware of each other's goals and objectives. To that end, we do have some specific asks, and then we'll turn it over to you. And I don't know, maybe before we get into the specific asks, Jim and Larry, do you have any comments, or you just want to get into the program?
The only thing I would say in regard to the governor's visit, it was really a great visit. I tell you, he's a great person. He's a great guy. He's very interested in Garrett County. He's a good listener. It's a big change for us. But he told us he'd be back out again, and we'll see a lot of him. He was very interested in what we had to say, what kind of issues we had, what kind of problems we had, how the state's doing, what they could do better. I know I read somewhere his approval rating is 68% or something like that statewide. So it's easy to see why. I mean, he's just a really good guy, very, very interested about and concerned about us.
That's I just echo that. I think that he's a very approachable person and very likable, and wants to listen to what we have to say, and that's just very refreshing. Appreciate it.
Okay. Did you guys get a copy of the handout? We do have four specific asks, and we did put these in order of priority for us as far as this is concerned. You know, obviously, we want you to keep fighting for the restoration of highway user money, which we know you will. We encourage you to continue to fight for those bills that support our businesses and the payment in lieu of taxes bill. And all of that stuff. Specifically, what we would ask, first and foremost, we're still working on our emergency operations center. We did ask for some money last year for that. Fortunately, you guys were able to get us some money for that. We're greatly appreciative of that. Not really going to go into me. Everyone in here knows we're still the only county without one, although we're much further along right now than we were last year. A lot of funding in place. we have identified a site. The estimated cost of fully operational EOC, including backup 911 center space for communications, planning, logistics, operational support, is estimated at $2.1 million. Give a lot of credit to Kevin for working with John Frank, who spearheaded this effort. At one point, that was hovering around $5 million. We've been able to work on that and bring it down to about $2.1 million, so that's very noteworthy. Funding has been secured. We're sitting on committed monies of about $1.1 million for the construction of approximately 6,000 square foot building. This is phase one of that project. In order to complete the project, an estimated $1 million will be needed. Our request is for $500,000, in which we would find the matching funds for that to complete that program or complete that project. So that's our number one priority as we try to finalize that project. Second request is for water and sewer infrastructure at Kaiser Ridge Industrial Park. The request is for funding. Overall, the project costs are estimated $2.2 million, approximately $1 million in funds currently available. Request for funding to construct 200,000-gallon water storage tank, commissioning of wells, and construction of on-site waste treatment plant. Our ask for that, Kevin, we're missing the... Oh, for $1.2 million. Sorry. So we'd ask Maryland General Assembly to provide a legislative bond in the amount of $1.2 million for that purpose. A lot of progress being made on that project through the work of economic development. Cheryl and Alex and that team would like to, that sat there a long time. We'd like to finalize some things there and be able to get some stuff moving out there. The third ask that we have is for a Maryland General Assembly bond in the amount of $50,000 to help Garrett County fund the economic impact study for Marcellus Shale. As you guys are well aware, we've commissioned a study on that. We've beat the bushes at the federal and state level for some funding on that as well. We've committed money. The county has allocated $75,000 for the study, $37,500 in county funds, $37,500 in the ARC. The request for an additional $50,000 that we also would be willing to match from other sources of income. And finally, the fourth request that we have, request by the Board of County Commissioners at the Maryland General Assembly amend COMAR, and you can read the number there, to include Garrett County as a permitted jurisdiction that may file the county's financial report on or before December 31st after the close of the county's fiscal year. The section of COMAR is listed as follows: Calvert County, Caroline County, Frederick, Queen Anne, St. Mary's, Talbot, Wicomico may file the county's financial report on or before December 31st after the close of the county's fiscal year. We would ask that we would be added to that list of counties. We know that we're not under any false pretense that we're going to get everything that we ask for. We understand that. We'll be grateful for anything that you can send our way, and we know that you guys work very hard for us in Annapolis, and we appreciate that. Is there anything else that you want to talk about? I would add one final thing, and then I'll turn it over to you guys. As you guys are aware, we have a committee headed by Cheryl for Marcellus Shale to study some issues with that to mitigate potential problems, etc. They've done a lot of work, and some members in the audience, and we appreciate their work. They've done a lot of work right now on transportation issues, and they submitted a pretty thorough report to us on that, and we have looked at that. We are not asking for anything specific at this time because we're going to wait until the draft regulations come out and then give you probably a comprehensive suite of things that we feel we may need at that point. So I don't want the group here to think that we turned over this work to us and we didn't do anything with it. We certainly did, and we think it's premature to ask for anything right now, not knowing what may or may not be in any draft regulation. So outside of the economic study, that's that's kind of where we're at with that. So, having said that, again, really do appreciate you guys taking the time to come out, but I will reiterate, you know, it's nice that no matter, we don't have to just meet here. We spent 3 days. I lived with one of you for decades, so. I'll turn it over to you guys.
Okay, I'll kick off the first request there. That's a big amount for a bond issue. And I think we got $50,000 put in last year. Obviously, George and I discuss all of these requests.
Sure.
We'll go through it and we'll review it. And then we always meet right when we get in Annapolis to review all these requests, everything that we receive from the county, not only from the commissioners, from, we'll be meeting the Board of Education, I think tomorrow, and we'll go over these requests. Is it Wednesday? Wednesday, okay. The next one there, number two, water and sewer infrastructure. $1.2 million would be probably beyond the realm of possibility to be able to get through a bond issue. The thing that the General Assembly would request is that, in water and sewer particularly, there are numerous sources of funding and financing for that, that you explore all the areas, particularly rural development, Farmers Home Administration, ARC. Maryland provides grants and loans. They have a revolving loan program with really low interest rate for some of these projects. But you know, we'll discuss that with the MDE officials to see if there's some other sources of possible funding that we'll explore that to see if there are other sources that we can conjure up or recommend.
Hey, it's okay with us, Wendell, if you get it put in the governor's capital budget, that's
yeah.
Okay.
We'll take that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, now that we do have a much more favorable position, I think, to be able to incorporate things in the capital budget, we would require, if you consider the capital budget, then you probably ought to make a direct request to Secretary Brinkley to have these incorporated, and then going forward into the future, if you see projects or things that you would need and would desire to have in the capital budgets, contact them early on in the budget process. Like Senator Brinkley now is working, we're the Department of Budget and Management working on the budget for the coming fiscal year, and that needs to be completed like December, probably. Date is probably close right now. Yeah, shortly. That they have to have it to end to be able to do to print the draft budget. So, if going forward next year, if you see projects that you think that's something that would be desired, that you would desire to put in the capital budget, and if once you get it in the capital budget, it's much easier to defend it. Once the governor puts it in there, then it's much easier to keep it in the amount that it's been submitted and put into the budget. The $50,000 for the study, that, you know, that's kind of a new request for a study. We'll have to take that up, and George and I'll discuss it. We'll take it up with MDE to see if there is any source of funds. As you know, Garrett County already has in place a 5.5% severance tax to address if and when any drilling would ever occur in on that issue. You well know that there's currently a moratorium until October 2017. The governor and MDE and the administration is currently working on regulations. That legislation that passed last year required that the governor submit regulations in place by October 1 of 2016, which is rolling right around. They're working on those regulations, and obviously I think you and the public in general have an opportunity to review those draft regulations once they get out. That bill went in last year, and both George and I supported that bill, and the reason we supported it was that it was clear that the way things were progressing, nothing was really going to happen anyway, and we want to make sure that there are meaningful regulations in place that that recognizing that if this activity is perceived, we want to make sure that it can proceed within acceptable risk limits, and that those risks that do exist are addressed in the regulations. The way things are currently going, you understand the economics and the economy and what's happened because of horizontal drilling more than fracking, because fracking first started to occur back in 1947 in Kansas, that horizontal drilling has been the real game changer. And just recently we heard that there was a well in Ohio that is really, they hit a huge amount of gas, or a natural gas well. And the company that drilled the well, you'd think they would stand to benefit tremendously from that, but in fact the value of their company went down because they felt that this amount of gas, that the prices of gas were even maybe, if not rise, at least not lower, at least it was probably with the abundance of gas, and we see it here, we see it in the county. Horizontal drilling's been the game changer in this country, as everyone recognizes it, because now we're looking at $2.07 a gallon for gasoline in Garrett County, and natural gas prices are historic lows from years ago. So probably not going to be any great influx of people running into Garrett County want to drill when they're hitting these huge amounts of gas in the neighborhoods. Well, I think we have some time to work through these issues, and even if we get to the point that drilling is permitted, my personal opinion is that there's not going to be a bunch of gas companies running into Garrett County wanting to stick up rigs to drill for gas in the short term. So at some point in the future, obviously, it may come around. The request for this change in the financial report to amend the COMAR regulations to put Garrett County the same level as other counties, I have absolutely no problem with that, but that's pretty simple legislation if that's what you desire. So I think we can work on to take care of that.
Thank you.
Well, I'll try not to regurgitate anything here, but I want to thank you all for the working relationship that we do have. We all need to work together on all these issues and really anything done. Your first request, you know, we had a bond bill and last year got a little bit of money. I represent three counties, so I get requests from three counties usually, and you know, only so much money. Usually about the most you can get is $250,000.
We'll take.
If Delegate Beitzel doesn't get any other requests from Garrett and or part of Allegheny he represents, he could probably put one in for that amount and maybe get close to it. But we'll do the best we can. I guess my question is, I understand you can't put it where you wanted to put it, so where is the site you've now selected to put it? Because then you want to put it at the airport and they said you couldn't put it there? Or are you at liberty to say where you picked it?
There was some issues with that for communications. There's some property adjacent to the airport that we're looking at that would offer some greater advantages than the previous one that does fit within the guidelines, and we'll have easy access and infrastructure.
Okay. On your water and sewer infrastructure, there's no way we can get a bond bill for paying two. My suggestion is you take, because you're talking two separate things here, separate the costs. What do you need for the water? What do you need for the sewer? We have funds in MDE for both. So my suggestion, basically what Wendell already said, is send a letter to the Secretary of Maryland Department of Environment and say, hey, we're working on this project and we need blank for the sewage part and we need blank for the water part. I would copy that to the governor and Secretary Brinkley. You may send a different one to Secretary Brinkley and say you requested this, or cover those letters and say if we can't get it this way, is there any possibility of getting it in the capital, governor's capital budget? But I likely go to swim because we do have these other funds and that's the way they like to approach it, it's out of the funds we already have in place. I suggest you do that sooner than later, like tomorrow morning. send it by passenger pigeon or something to get it down there right away. The economic impact study, I did write a letter to Secretary Grumbles and told him what you were doing, asked if there was any money in his budget to put into this, and to this point I haven't received a response, so that sort of tells me something. But I think what they'll come back and say is, we already did an economic development study, and I know there's people here who disagree with it, and I would tell them I disagreed with it. I don't think it was. Let's just say I think it could have been done better. I'll leave it at that. But anyway, I did write. I haven't heard. Maybe I'll hear something from them in the near future. We can always ask them once we get in session. A better idea what money they have or don't have to do something. Your fourth request is a local courtesy issue. That's a big deal. And I agree with what you said, Mr. Chairman. You got to wait to see what the rules and regulations are implemented or recommended to be implemented. It may address some of the local boards or commissions' issues. And if not, we're definitely going to work with you to do whatever we need to do. So I think that covers the five issues.
I want to add one other thing on the water and sewer projects. PACE is rolling right around. That's when here in Allegheny County go down, and that's the big lobbying effort from our two counties in Annapolis, and have a chance to deal with the legislators. And in addition to dealing with the legislators, all the agencies, heads and agency people, and the people that actually review the applications and grants are there, as you're aware. And that's been a really helpful process where people from the counties can get down, sit down, like with Farmers Home people will be there, rural development, MDE, and that you can meet with them and outline your projects, and they can walk you through the process of how they feel the best way to fund these projects.
Okay, is there anything else you guys to us?
I'd just like to ask Colonel there if that deer was still there when you got there yesterday. If you saw on your camera.
He's still there. I understand. There are some specific requests. I don't have any real major piece of legislation that I'm working on at this time that I could inform you of. George, I don't know if you want to mention your
well, they're aware of both issues I'm working on. I'll just say that if we can get the payment in lieu of taxes is what we're calling them out. Bill passed, it'll be a tremendous asset to Garrett County. We've improved your finances by about $2.4 million somewhere in that neighborhood. And I would say, so that people here know, that the governor's putting $1.3 million in the budget for Garrett County for education funding, which we tried to do 2 years ago, and the big boys wouldn't let us do it. They cut it back, and in one case we got something through and Governor O'Malley wouldn't approve the funding after the legislature did, which was his prerogative. So the numbers back then was 1.3, and I think they just took that. Three counties, Carroll County's getting he's proposing $4 million for Carroll, 1.3 for Garrett, 300,000 for Kent, which were three counties in the original approach three years ago. And since Senator Getty is now the governor's legislative kind of liaison person, I kind of think that push came from him, which we're appreciative of. But, we're going to have to keep it in there because some of the big boys are already talking and whining. What are you giving them $1.3 million for? You didn't give us another $68 million when he gave them $68 million to begin with, that they don't think's enough and want another $68 million. So, those are the kind of things we have to battle. So we're hopeful we can keep that 1.3 and get this bill passed for payment in lieu of taxes, which is a fairness issue, what it is. We already have a system in place that we get payments, but it isn't near what it ought to be. So if we can get that through, that'll be a great benefit to the county financially.
Well, on
help
that
you
note,
with a lot of these projects.
so that you're aware, we spoke with the mayors last week. They're all eight of them are firmly in support of that and want to write letters of support. So Blaine or Peggy will be in touch with Kim to get information when the appropriate time's there so that they can support that legislation.
And we're working on an economic development. I talked to Secretary Gill up here today. And I talked to him a little bit coming in later. And he said they're working on something. So we don't know what that is at this point.
About what?
The economic development package for rural counties. That would be very beneficial to Garrett County.
Well, we did talk to him a lot about how important the One Maryland program has been to us, you know, with Beitzel Deer Container and GCC technology.
But we need to replace that program.
Yeah, because we're out of that program.
Wendell. I forgot, you mentioned highway user revenue. That's one that we have recognized that our jurisdictions have an extreme need to try to get those funds restored. Governor Hogan put a bill in last year that would incrementally restore those funds over an 8-year period, and it didn't get out of the General Assembly. We will make a real effort to work with the governor to try to get it. It'll probably come incrementally, because even though we have a balanced budget this year, there, as Georgia pointed out, and there is a looming structural deficit going forward that we have to deal with. But I think since we now have a governor that's clearly expressed concern and has indicated, as he did last year at the PACE reception, that the war on Western Maryland is over, and so hopefully his budget and his administrative proposals will address that issue. If it don't, we're certainly going to bring it to his attention.
So to clarify a little more, we do have a structural deficit yet. We're not out of the situation yet. Now, you can look at the numbers. We have about a $17 million surplus, which we're calling extra revenue, and it came in through income tax and capital gains tax. But if we don't do anything, hold spending down at least for another year or so to keep it on that queue. 5 years from now, we're looking at $1 billion structural deficit based on the projections of the present day numbers. So it looks good at this point, but you can't just start spending this money because you're going to be back in a situation you won't want to be in that you were in before. It comes out 5 years to right around $1 billion. So we need to bring that in line, and hopefully another year of kind of holding the line might do that, and then we stay within our income, we'll be all right. We usually generate $500 to $800 million a year in good economic times, so that gives you a lot of money to put back in the program once you get it leveled out.
Any other questions for us?
I think you have some other. At least Debbie has something that I should probably want to mention on the.
You want to bring it up here? You brought it up the other night.
I'm prepared if you want me to. Debbie Allison with the Liquor Control Board, and we had a couple little legislative requests, a couple of housekeeping, and one was from one of our licensed establishment, which their store manager is here today. Our first request is geared towards our wine festival license. There's just a change in the date to return the unsold wine from 2 days to 5 days. So the delivery trucks are only up here 1 day a week from the city, so it makes it hard to try to get a delivery returned 2 days after the event that occurs on a Saturday. Then I have a change with our Article 2B7101 for temporary 1 day event licenses. This is for our qualifying nonprofits, and our request is for the reoccurring nonprofits who come in year after year with an advertised hearing, that if it's a reoccurring event and the estimated attendance is under 500, that the board has the discretion to do a license approval in the office with the administrator to the board, which is myself. This is geared towards Knights of Columbus, who comes in every year for the past 10 years, Garrett Mentors, different ones. We already have our several 14 nonprofits have an event license, so they don't need to come into the office. They have to fill out a form answering all my various questions and submit that a week ahead. So the Chamber of Commerce does that, the fire departments will do that. So it's kind of just a change on that. But for any new events or event with an attendance greater than 500, they will go before the board and advertise here. And then our request was from one of our businesses who currently does not have authorization for Sunday sales. So the request came in and our board would like to submit legislative requests to create what we would consider a daily license that would allow Sunday sales from 1 to 10 to all businesses in the county. And that's kind of where I am with that. This is my almost third presentation on it. So it's getting easier, but I have, you know, just the sheet. And part of changing that to what we consider a license that's good for every day, we're going to look at restructuring the fees to take the 6-day average, divide it out, and then that would come up with our 7-day license cost. The only thing I have on that, I'm prepared for all kinds of questions. I have my data, so.
Well, we appreciate that, and of course you presented to us previously, and we've had a chance to talk about this, and we support, unless one of these guys interject here, the date change on the wine, support that wholeheartedly. The reoccurring event license change, we support that. We are not willing at this point in time to support the changing of the liquor license as is, only because we just had a referendum and those areas voted against it. It would be very difficult, in our opinion, to justify overriding the voice of the people that voted in that referendum and tell them, well, you voted this way, but we don't care. We're gonna implement it this way. What we do support is to put it back on referendum and leave that issue to those voting districts. Certainly understand the concern. I think you guys did an excellent job articulating that and putting together a proposal. And if we can get the jurisdictions to vote on that, I think then we can look at that proposal, because I think it's a good proposal. Okay. But I think at this time, unless, again, Larry or Jim intercede, we would support a referendum for Sunday sales, but we would be against overriding the last referendum at this time.
You know, Debbie, we in all these cases where requests come from the county, especially on alcoholic beverages, obviously it has to come to state and has to go through the General Assembly, but we always require that the commissioners review it and let us know how they feel about it. So we would like for you to line your request up in line with what the commissioners would approve for us to be able to proceed with that.
Could we consider changing the fee structure, how we were doing the average? I explained the averages was created 20-some years ago for a Class B beer, wine, and liquor license. That's how the cost came up to $250. And we were proposing taking my example I've used is I have a bed and breakfast that has a $25 license, but because the Sunday option has never changed and it was geared towards one specific class, the board would want me to see if that's an option to continue to change our license fees to that effect.
We support that.
Okay.
We're in favor. Yeah.
Yeah, because I had licensees that, you know, said, how is that fair? I pay $150 for Monday through Saturday and then have it's a flat fee across the board for all the different license classes.
Let me just add that throughout the years, when we get a request from an individual or a business or a group, we send it to the liquor board. We ask the liquor board to evaluate them and make a decision, and then we ask them to take it to the commissioners and ask them for their opinion or support or not support. And that's how we get into where we're at. And sometimes they get stuff directly and they review them, but we tell Debbie to the commissioners once they finalize what they want. So we hear you, but we want it in writing, what you're going to support or not support.
So that we would seek then the liquor board in lieu of the changing everything. That was our second thing, would have been the referendum vote next November, with the effective date would be December 15th, as it has been in the past when we did a referendum vote in November.
Would the referendum only be for those counties that rejected the Sunday sales last time around?
That would be the intent for the election districts or precincts. That would be our liquor board's request would be. In that, the vote last year was somewhat busy, to say, with having everybody voting off-premise, some voting on. So this would kind of be the same way, but it would be on a much smaller scale, because we currently have only 13 businesses who don't qualify for Sunday sales in some form or fashion, and out of that we're down to probably less than 5 different voting areas in that combination. I have all that if you, I can get that ready for anything, but I think our board will be, with the referendum and the possibility to look at changing the license fee structure separate from a vote.
Debbie, can you get with Kevin tomorrow or later this week and hammer out that, make sure we got everything in writing the way that you're comfortable with, and we'll make sure we look at it.
Yes. All right, thank you.
Thank you,
Debbie. Anything else?
Well, unless you have something here, we're...
Yeah, well, we're going to get into our meeting, and so we appreciate you guys coming.
We got other meetings.
We're not taking public comment this time. Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you. No, we're right back. Okay, at this time we'll go ahead and call our regular meeting to order. If everybody would please stand, and Commissioner Titchener will do the invocation, and then we'll go into the pledge of allegiance.
It's all about prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today just thanking you for all that you do for us. We would ask that each and every one of us here remember the reason for the season that you sent your son to be born here for us. Lord, we just ask that each and every one of us pause and just say thank you for all that you do for us, for the many blessings that's bestowed upon each and every one that's in this room. Lord, we ask that you give us the wisdom and the guidance that we need here today. And Lord, we'll not forget to stop and praise and glorify your precious holy name. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. Mr. Knoll, do we have any additions, corrections, or deletions to the public agenda?
No, sir, we do not.
All right. Hearing none, we have a motion to approve the agenda as written.
So moved.
We have a second.
Second.
Motion is second. Question on motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Agenda is approved as written. Everybody got a copy of the minutes in advance. Are there any additions, corrections, concerns with the minutes? Previous meeting. Hearing none, we have a motion to approve.
So moved.
We have a motion to approve. We have a second.
Second.
Motion is second. Question motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes approved as written. We only have one agenda item or action item tonight, in two parts, and it's bid awards. Saw the team come in, so gentlemen, we'll turn it over to you for the bid awards.
Good afternoon. We have two contract awards for your consideration. The first of which, this is a contract award for RFP number 15-1020. This is for consulting services to prepare a scope of work for an economic impact study, which will be handled in a second RFP process. We did accept proposals on Tuesday, October 20th at 2 p.m. was the deadline. We received a total of 8 proposals. A selection committee comprised of myself and members of the Marcellus Shale Advisory Board, which included John Quilty, Steve Sherrard, Leah Martin, and Cheryl DeBerry, evaluated the proposals that we received. An overall evaluation summary was developed as a result of those individual evaluations, and that information was provided to you via a previous email for your review. As a result of the evaluation summary and the evaluation process in itself, we are recommending Downstream Strategies LLC be awarded the contract for the consulting services. The amount of that contract is $13,325. Funding for the project is a combination of ARC money, Appalachian Regional Commission grant funds, and county funds in the amount of $75,000. So we're covered in terms of funding. We have a current relationship with Downstream Strategies. They've done two previous studies for the county. Asset mine remediation, the Mountain Maryland Energy Advisory Committee consultant, and they're currently working with Cheryl on a local foods distribution plan. The work they have to do under this contract will take approximately 4 months to complete, with the award coming in the holidays. I assume that the official work would begin sometime either the end of this month or the beginning of January. The consultant will be tasked with holding a public forum, solicit input, from the general public on what their ideas are, on what should be included in the scope of work for the future RFP process. They were proposing to put a survey online, to also solicit public feedback. They are subcontracting with a professor from WVU, Dr. Alan Collins, to also provide his input on the economic side of things. And Downstream Strategies does have past experience and environmental impacts on shale gas development as well. Either of you have any questions, Cheryl, do you want to add anything else?
Any questions from the board?
There was consensus on the selection committee?
Yes. Yes, there was.
No other questions or comment. Do we have a motion to accept the bid from Downstream Strategies for the economic impact study for shale gas development?
So moved.
We have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Bid awarded.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's what we have, gentlemen, is for the City Waxaw dump truck, bid number 15-1112DT. It was advertised for 2 weeks. Bids were due on Thursday, November 12, 2015. We had packages request by 11 potential bidders, 5 bid services, 4 responses were received. The bid tab was sent to you earlier last week. After reviewing for compliance administrative requirements and working with the roads department, recommendations award a single axle dump truck to Freightliner of Hagerstown out of Hagerstown, Maryland. It'd be for the model of the 114SD. Purchase price would be $159,305 for a total of 3. Delivery time would be approximately 150 days. And the budget amount for that was $480,000. So we're approximately $2,000, just over $2,000 under budget then.
Excellent. Questions? Motion to approve the dump truck bid?
So moved.
And motion of second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Question on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Bid awarded. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks to you and Cheryl for all the work you put in on the impact side. I know there's a lot of effort running today.
Certainly.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Charlie, for the
thanks,
you'll thank me when the roads are plowed.
And we thank you for being under budget.
Amen.
All right. Come to the time of public commentary. Anybody got anything? Yes, ma'am.
On the study, just quickly, the $13,000 is to develop the RFP for the big study, right?
Correct.
And 4 months seems like an awfully long time to develop something like that. And since we're going to have those regulations, really soon, it just seems like it's stretching out.
Well, I...
And since Downstream Strategies has done work like this before, they should be familiar with this and be able to do it in less than 4 months.
Well, I think two comments on it. The main comment is just because they get up to 4 months doesn't mean they need to take 4 months. If they come in and get it done in 25 minutes, I mean, as long as they meet the criteria, the timing on it is a time frame that it can't exceed that. It can certainly be short of that time. So and they do have experience, so they could certainly be done in advance of that. I think the reason that the time was built in to make sure that they had ample time to accommodate public process and public comment and give you all a chance to dialogue with them and be part of that move before, which we felt was very important, and I think most of the people who are interested in this film as well. So, even Eric's giving me a thumbs up, so something must be going right.
I agree.
Yeah.
The second thing I have is that they were discussing the regulations, mm-hmm. and they were saying, well, when the regulations are promulgated, we have already had discussions about being part of the drafting the regulations as they are being drafted. So, and I was at that rural thing on Friday, and I asked Secretary Grumbles again, can we, our commissioners and some of the citizens of this area, participate in the drafting of the regulations? And he said yes. So maybe we should tell these gentlemen that they need to write a letter or speak to them, because we don't want to wait till after the regulations are promulgated. We want to have input during the process.
We're going to get some opportunities there. We've been told that by MDE. I don't know what that looks like yet. But they have listened to us. I give Secretary Grumbles a lot of credit for that, and he has indicated that they are willing to do that and will do that. So
with the commissioners?
With
or people?
Garrett County people. Like I said, I don't know what that looks like. I'm not going to sit here and say it because I don't have any idea. The Garrett County community will have an opportunity to.
Okay, because Grumbles said sometime in January.
Well, let's wait till January and see what that looks like.
Okay.
We certainly have that on our radar, and you've heard me ask for that
multiple
times.
No, I know, and we haven't heard that you got a response from him.
It was actually just recently, and like we said, it was, we know you're still out there, and we're going to incorporate you, basically.
Can you email us the letter, or show us what the letter was, his response?
We can talk about that. I don't know if there's anything else in that. Yeah.
It's just more verbal that he would get back to us.
Well,
let's work together.
There was an email sent that had some other stuff in it that I'm not willing to send out. But he indicated he's going to incorporate us into the process.
Okay.
I'll see if I can get something from his office to that effect.
That would be great.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm working on that.
Thank you.
Sure.
Eric?
First off, thank you guys for putting together the RFP process to get us to this point on that. I appreciate it. It's great to see that only 13,000 is going to be dedicated to it. It's right in line with what we'd seen with the study costs that we were seeing before, and knowing that the study was probably going to come out in that 200,000 range, it's good to see that you've asked for that additional money for the other part. Engage Mountain Maryland had sent a letter out to multiple agencies. We have received one rapid response, and we'll be sharing that with you shortly on what we're finding out. So if there's other agencies that are willing to step up to the plate, we want to make sure that you guys get that information as soon as possible, so that all the funding we can put together. Secondly, Engage had sent you a request on some legislation associated with the water resources. This is part of the Woolman report that was done back in 2000. All the rest of the state, except for Washington, Allegheny, and Garrett County, participated in that study. Most of this is associated with the problems that we've been encountering is in water resources for economic development, for getting waters to our communities and those issues that are there. Those other counties have had the ability to be able to participate, and MDE, being the strong member of that process, made it easier for appropriations to come across when things are happening. Because we've never been able to participate in it, I was asking for that legislation. Ian Gage was asking for the legislation to be supported by the commissioners and hopefully by our delegation. I'm still hoping that you would be willing to support that legislation if it came across, if we were willing to push that a little harder. Is there something that we should do to, this is something we, as a community, we need to have this done.
Did receive the letter. I think it came to me. I shared it with everyone, and I did speak with Wendell about it twice now. He wants to have a conversation with the three of us about that, so it wasn't ignored. And we'll see what that conversation leads to, and then I'll let you know.
And then we had also discussed, I'm sorry, go ahead.
You're going to send me a copy of the bill, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
yes, sir.
Yeah, so as soon as you get me that, I'm sure you'll be okay. Thank you.
I'll send you the report that Dave Bolton had done also in association with that.
Thank you, sir.
The other item was is that we talked about possibly in January or February putting together DPU coming out and doing a presentation on some of the issues that the county has been experiencing, some of the areas that we possibly need help in, and some of the things that DPU has done has been right. You know, I mean, there was a conversation the other day that we're talking about some of the issues of having the sewer system put in around the lake, and that they anticipated that there was going to be these little spills, these little things that had happened. But in comparison to having complete failures like what's happening out of Green Glades, you know, we've done a lot better. So having DPU come in and show us what they've done right and what they need to do in the future and what we can do to help them would be great.
We want to get through next Monday, and then that'll be the next discussion. But it is on the radar. We've talked about it.
All right. Thank you.
Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to thank you all also for bringing the economic study to this point and for asking for additional funding. Delegate Beitzel talked an awful lot about that and the history and what's happened with fracking so far, but I might be the only one. I wasn't sure what his answer was. Did he say if he's going to support asking for additional funding?
I don't know if he answered it. I will say this. I think if there's an opportunity to get money, he'll be very supportive of that. I don't think he would fight against that in any way. I'm very comfortable in saying that. But I don't think he's optimistic that there's going to be more money coming our way.
It didn't sound like he's going to look for it either.
I'll leave that to the audience. I'm not going to speak for the man.
Okay. Thank you.
Some things are self-evident.
Anyone else? All right. Well, our next meeting is next Monday at the college. There's a lot of stuff happening that day. We will actually have our meeting, our regularly scheduled meeting at the college at 4 o'clock. And then we will have our annual county update at 6. So everybody obviously is welcome to attend. I think we have a great, we're working on a great presentation. It is not there quite yet, but hopefully we'll have a good presentation. There's a lot of good stuff happening, a lot of good news to share. We're excited about it. There'll be opportunities for questions. Scott Weeks will be there for budget stuff. Alex McCoy will be there for economic development. Of course, the three of us will be there as well. And I think there's a lot of good news to be shared. And then as questions arise, you have the opportunity. We're going to do the stealing from the chamber where you can write on the card. Carol made the cards up, and then you can send them up. And that way we can consolidate similar questions and everything and answer them as we go. So that's next week on Monday at the college. Yes, ma'am.
Paul, I don't know. I'm on the Health Planning Council, and thank you for the forever appointment to that. I thought there was an expiration.
You're welcome.
But as you know, we're working on the community health assessment, and I didn't know if, because we'll be launching that very shortly, I didn't know if that's something that you might be able to cover next Monday to talk a little bit about that community health assessment, because that'll impact the community over the next...
Interestingly enough, we met with Rodney a little while ago, and he brought that up, and we are going to try to weave some of that in.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, nobody has anything else. Appreciate everybody coming out. Do we have a motion adjourned?
Motion to adjourn.
All right, second?
Second.
Meeting adjourned, thanks. 5 o'clock.
Amy, meeting this Saturday or next Saturday?
Next Saturday.